Lord, again, thank you for those that are here this evening, and I just pray for clarity of thought as I present the message, and I just pray for clarity of thought for each of us as we listen. Help us to be attentive to you, and may your Spirit help us to remember the things that you want us to remember and to forget everything else that's superfluous. And I just pray that I might be your vessel tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm calling this evening's message, It's Life, ITS, Life. And I'm going to give it a subtitle, A Few Things That I Need. Now, Brother George called me the other day to ask if I'd preach this evening's message. And I said I'd be honored to. And when I told Carol, she asked if I had something in mind to preach on. And I said that I had a passage that I was thinking of. Plus, there are all those Sunday school lessons on the book of Revelation, which we've missed this summer. And I said, I don't know what our people need to hear. So she asked me what I needed. And I said, I need a break. And I didn't really give her question much thought until Saturday morning. And then I thought, why not talk about what I need? And I'm referring to things I need spiritually and mentally. Now, often before I teach Sunday school or before I preach, Carol is quick to tell me, this isn't about you. And she said the same thing to me this afternoon. Well, this time, I'm going to talk about me more than usual because it's possible you might need a few of the same things that I need. And if that's the case, we'll give glory to God. And if not, then I apologize in advance for wasting your time. I admire those who can be vulnerable and talk about themselves in a way that doesn't draw undue attention to themselves. And I don't know if I can accomplish that tonight, but I'll try. I truly do want to glorify our wonderful Lord and not myself. May God grant that I can be his useful vessel this evening. Maybe you've noticed if you've listened to Christian radio lately that several programs are making it a point to give us what they believe we need. They're running messages on joy, hope, comfort, and how we cope through suffering and trials and all that. And I think we can all agree, that those are good things. We all need the Lord. We need his word. We all need the filling of the Spirit. However, I want to share with you some specifics as to how that's been working out in my life for the past few months. This message is going to be mostly personal testimony and part preaching. I'm going to mention a number of scripture references, which you might want to write down and look up later. I hope I can say them and get through them in a way that makes sense. This list of the things that I need isn't necessarily in order of importance. It's not exhaustive. I could probably add to it if I had more time to think about it. Recently, I heard a brilliant description about the time that we're living in. The host of one of my favorite podcasts on current events and culture asked a member of that day's panel how life was for him. And he answered with a line from the original Star Trek series. Okay, before I tell you what he said, let me set this up for you. From time to time, the crew of the starship Enterprise would discover unfamiliar alien life forms. Captain Kirk would ask his science officer, Mr. Spock, for his analysis. Spock would reply, "It's life, Jim, but not as we know it." And that's how it is for us all, isn't it? It's life, but not as we know it. We're experiencing life, but it's not the life that we're accustomed to. not only have many things changed in our external world, but for me, many things have been changing in my internal world. Now, if the Lord hasn't been working in your life in a noticeable way in the past 5 months or so, you're either spiritually superior to the rest of us or you have a seared conscience. The Lord has been working me over good. And I can testify that walking in the Spirit is life, but not as I know it in the flesh. Now, with that said, in order for me to tell you how God has been working in my life, I'm going to let you in on some strongly held opinions here. And it's not my intention to upset anybody, but I feel I should let you know that I am the world's leading authority on my opinions. Now, I'm going to try to walk on eggshells, but, you know, I'm kind of a klutz, and so I'm probably going to break a few eggs here. But the yolk's on me, right? Well, if you find anything I say objectionable, please do as Brother George has told us to do from time to time, and eat the meat and spit out the bones. Back in the middle of March, when everything related to the virus broke loose, I was struck with two very strong impressions, and they're still with me. The first one is that the greatest threat we face is not the COVID-19 virus. Now, please hear me carefully. I am not saying the virus is no threat. I'm saying it isn't our greatest threat. Our greatest threat comes from the actions and reactions of our government, our media, and the reaction of those all around us. Now, why are these things the greater threat? Because I firmly believe Satan is exerting influence now like he's never been able to do before. Now, God is sovereign, but he's allowing this to happen for reasons that only he knows. Now, all of this could be judgment for any number of things. We as a nation and certainly the whole world deserve it. Now, ultimately, God's going to get all the glory from this. Here's a little more of why I'm convinced that Satan is at the bottom of all of this. You know, this is happening worldwide, you know, the virus and the riots and so forth. It's not just happening in the U.S. And this is bigger than just one political party against another one. This is essentially a giant reset on many levels in our society. For all practical purposes, we're living under a form of medicalized martial law. Now, if you've paid any attention to the news, you've noticed that some people get away with a lot more than the rest of us. That's all I'm going to say about that. We are also experiencing a rapid acceleration of a decline that was already taking place. Our fear of the virus and the unknown is being whipped up and used against us. Uncertainty is continually promoted. Ask yourself these questions. Have we been subjected to confusion? Have we been subjected to lies? Well, who is the father of those things? It's none other than Satan himself. In John 10:10, Jesus reminds us that the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Now, the rest of that verse says that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, praise God for that. Now, I'll address a little bit about that abundant life after a while here. Now, when things started to pop back in mid-March, I told Brother George we wouldn't recognize our country in 6 months. Now, I'm no prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. And there are a number of things that I couldn't have guessed would happen. But things have headed in the general direction that I was afraid they would. I take no pleasure in being even a little bit right. I find all of this upsetting and disconcerting. Now, the second impression that I had when everything started shutting down is I felt like I had stepped into a time machine. I'm 14 again. I'm back at the School for the Blind in Nebraska. I went there for 10 years. Unlike most students there, I didn't live in the dormitory. I was what they call a day student. Various activities definitely gave me a pretty good dose of dorm life, though. Now, if you know anything about boarding schools, you know that things happen there that should not, and many things get swept under the rug. And I'm not going to say any more about than that because there's just really no point in going into specifics at this point. To my way of thinking, two things characterized the atmosphere at school for me. Forced conformity to the rules and being patronized like mentally retarded children. Strong words, I know, but I'll let you draw your own conclusions as to whether that characterizes the atmosphere in today's society at large. I have a strong sense of justice. And as a teenager, I was often angry and sometimes rebellious when something or someone got under my skin. Incidentally, at the School for the Blind, I was in close quarters with kids of all grade levels who were along a spectrum from the severely mentally retarded to the profoundly gifted. The worst part about this insane trip back in time for me is that there's no escape these days. As a teenager, I fought hard to go to a regular public high school, and I was able to do that for my junior and senior years. I wanted to be around people who were supposedly normal, okay? I had so little self-confidence back then that I had a whole new set of problems in that last couple of years of school. But at least I wasn't at the School for the Blind. When I graduated from high school, I couldn't wait to get away from home and go to Bible college. In my freshman year, I discovered I needed rehabilitation training for the blind, which I had fought against. Now, that may not make much sense, but why I fought it and how God worked things out is another story that I don't have time to go into here. But that rehab training proved to be life-transforming and liberating. The problem now is that there's no escape like that. You know, no going to another school, no getting away from home. There's no escape from our present circumstances. We live in times that I find frustrating, to say the least, and yet they're fascinating to behold. And I confess that anger and sadness have been unwanted companions for me since March. But, you know, I'm not that teenager anymore. That was a long time ago. One day this spring, I resolved, I'm not going to let all of this get me down. I'm going to live through it somehow. I'm not going to be like that angry, rebellious young man. And I have to pray often that God will keep me from those old reactions. Yet, I still struggle. I struggle with wanting to fight back against our circumstances. I believe I've told you before that I have an authority problem. I can be skeptical. I can be cynical. And I ask a lot of questions. You know, as for the present situation, what can we believe? You know, what's really true? What do I need to submit to? When do I submit? How do I submit? Why do I submit? Or should I submit at all? Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, going to obey various regulations or whatever. I'm going to wear a mask whenever it's needed and so on and so forth. But I fit the description that J. Vernon McGee gave of the prophet Habakkuk. McGee said that Habakkuk had a question mark for a brain. Well, that's me. Hello, my name is Question Mark. Now, I'd shake your hand, but, well, you know how things are these days, right? Questioning authority isn't always bad, though. If you remember, Acts 17:11 commended the Bereans for searching the scriptures to see if what they were being taught was true. One of the things I need most of all is to look to the Lord and not myself. Okay, so what about the filling of the Holy Spirit? I am more conscious than ever that I need it every day, and I need it minute by minute. I need to remember that walking in the Spirit is life, but not as I know it, in my flesh. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I wouldn't be spiritually alive. I wouldn't be born again if it weren't for the Lord. So, how do I survive in these strange times? Well, I need to remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, Romans 6:11 tells us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. And the verses after that tell us to yield to righteousness and not to sin. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Recently, I heard a story about a preacher who got sick. And one day his wife left him home alone to go shopping. The preacher became upset. He started yelling and swearing at God, you know, concerning his condition and the problems that he was having. Well, immediately he was convicted and he repented. He apologized to God. But where had that outburst come from? Soon the answer came. He had a thought which could have only come from the Holy Spirit. And that thought, that's the part of you that's not dead yet. Well, for the past several months, the Lord has been bringing to my attention a lot of things that aren't dead yet. It's not a pretty picture. My own powerful reactions to events in recent months have caught me by surprise. And I don't like what I've been seeing in myself. Apparently, this has been happening to other believers, too. In some of the Christian podcasts that I've been listening to, more than one person has said that they've been battling with issues that they thought were won a long time ago. As I said earlier, I don't want to be that angry, rebellious 14-year-old, okay? When I read through the book of Proverbs this spring, I often felt like the Lord was giving me a swat on my behind, you know. The Lord gave me a number of reminders to keep my mouth shut, keep the peace, keep my own counsel, don't make trouble where there isn't any, just leave certain things alone. A piece of advice often given to writers is to kill your darlings. You know, cut out that part of the story that you think is so brilliant. Now, I may think I have a brilliant thought or an idea, but how does that line up with what God thinks? I need to pray often that the Lord will keep me from being a fool. Now, if I say or do something foolish, you know, even in this message, believe me, it's not because God didn't hold up his end of the deal. When I get angry about what's going on, I need to remember the words of James 1:20. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Boy, that hurts, doesn't it? I'm reminded of that inner battle and yet the victory that's described in Galatians 5, 16, and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. When I become sad, I need to remember Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I often need to pray for the Lord to refresh me. You know, things can get overwhelming at times, and I just get mentally and spiritually weary. Sometimes I just have to take a nap, you know, or just do something completely different. And then I need to remember Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I need endurance, and I pray for it often. I don't want to faint spiritually. When I need a break, I need to heed the words of Psalm 46, verse 10. That's where God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I need to remember what James 1, 2 through 5 says about how God works in me during trying times. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, I am so glad that I can come to God for wisdom with confidence that he's not going to belittle or chide me. I need godly wisdom and discernment. I need the godly wisdom that James talks about in James 3, 17 and 18. And I'm just going to summarize that here. That wisdom is pure, gentle, peaceable. It's full of mercy and righteousness, and it's fruitful for God. I also need to remember Colossians 3, 1 through 4, concerning where my affections ought to be. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now the first part of verse 5 goes on to say, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And again, I think back to Romans 6, which talks about yielding to the Lord. And you'll remember that Paul talked in Romans 7 about the struggle that he had, you know. Well, Romans 12, 1 tells me to present myself to God as a living sacrifice. I must willfully present myself along with my talents, my abilities to the Lord. He gave them to me in the first place. And I have to ask myself what it is that God wants me to put aside for him. Maybe it's for the moment. You know, maybe it's for good. Well, I need to be led by the Spirit, and here's what Romans 8, 14 and 15 says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Paul had a similar message for Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boy, how I need that sound mind. And I confess that, you know, I've been afraid of having a mental breakdown through all this stuff. And that brings me to my next thought. I need God's word. One of the things that has helped me to keep my sanity is studying for the Sunday school lessons that we haven't been able to go through together. Thankfully, I'm able to use those lessons for a Bible study that I do by phone on Monday evenings with a handful of other blind friends. Getting into God's word is like eating candy. The more you eat, the more you want. You know, try it, you'll like it. I have a hunger for God's word, much like I did when I first got saved at the age of 16. Man, I couldn't get enough of it, you know? By the way, a psychologist I heard interviewed some time back said to do something during these strange times to help your personal growth and development. Studying God's word certainly fits that bill for me. Another thing I need is Christian fellowship. And of course, you know, Roger talked about that here a time or two recently. I need you, brothers and sisters. You know, we need to support each other and to love one another. Let's not let the present situation tear this church apart, whatever happens. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 tells us, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, I need to know that I'm not alone. God told Elijah that he had 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Who are those 7,000 in our day? And where are they? Also, I need intellectual stimulation. I crave it. I'm constantly reading books and magazines or listening to sermons and podcasts. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for this Victor ReaderStream device here. I need to hear from people who think like I do because I need affirmation. On the other hand, I need to hear from people who don't think like I do so I can get another perspective. Then I need to pray for God's guidance to help me know what is true. I need to be reminded to pray for those in authority, as 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says. And again, I'll just summarize that. Not only should we pray for the salvation of our leaders, but may they lead us in such a way that we are free to live a life that is quiet, godly, and honest. Now, you know what? That puts responsibility on us to live that way, doesn't it? I need to remember that whatever happens with the government, the media, with the economy, God is there in it all, and He doesn't change. Psalm 139 reminds me that God is present no matter where I am, and no matter what happens. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray the things that I don't know how to say. Romans 8:26 and 27 gives me assurance about that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How wonderful it is to know that the Lord not only helps me to pray, but he prays for me. Wow. And then I need to remember the words of the next verse in that chapter, Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." God's idea of what is good for me is different than my idea, I can tell you that. But you know, he loves me. He's called me to himself. And then I need to remember what Romans 8:29 says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord wants me to be more like Christ so that he will get the glory, not me. I need to remember in these rapidly changing times that God is our rock. He's my refuge. He's stable. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Psalm 46, 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Something else, I need to bask in the eternal life that God has given to his people. John 17, 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Those are Jesus' words in prayer for his disciples and for us. Do you realize that we are going to spend eternity getting to know the Lord? And yet, you know, I don't have to wait for heaven to get to know the Lord. I can get a head start right now, you know? I need to serve the Lord and bear fruit for him. And if I'm to do that, I need to abide in Christ no matter what changes we go through. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus told his disciples, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Well, I need to live the Spirit-filled life. And as I said before, that is life. But it is not life as my flesh knows it. Let me begin to wrap things up by saying that I feel the need these days to share the gospel and to support those who do that. And that starts right here at Northwood Baptist Church. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Well, then he says something kind of strange in the first part of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know something, especially as I've studied Revelation this summer, time is running out quickly. We who are believers in Christ are closer to being caught up to meet the Lord in the air just any time now. And that's great for us, but judgment is coming. And we don't like to talk about that, but the tribulation is going to be a terrifying, horrible time. And then after that comes the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. Why anybody would take the chance to wait and get saved after the rapture is beyond me. Many will die during the tribulation. You know, don't wait. If you haven't yet received Christ, if there's any doubt in your mind, receive him now. I could say more, but I'm going to conclude with this thought. Recently, Brother George preached a message that included the account of Jesus called to Matthew to be one of his 12 closest disciples. And Roger mentioned that this morning as well. Mark 2:14 says this, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." That is a powerful verse. Jesus asks you and me simply to follow him. I need to do that. How about you? The invitation is the Lord's. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And then you can reflect for a moment on the things maybe that you need from the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your Spirit working in us through these very strange and perilous times. Draw us closer to one another. Draw us closer to you. Give us a hunger for your word that we have never had before. Help us to understand who we are in Christ and that our life is in Christ. It is life, but not as we know it, in the flesh. There's a big difference there. We just thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit. I ask your blessing as we go our separate ways here shortly. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.